Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks rebound from their lowest level since 2016.
COVID-19 cases climb in the U.S. while data out of Italy points to a possible peak.
Congress prepares its third attempt to advance a coronavirus stimulus bill.
And President Trump prepares plans to get America back to work.
A coronavirus official says New York City has an attack rate five times that of other areas, plus reaction from the nation's governors. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, local stars and teams are stepping up together, rising up in the community. And the Olympics still holding on to a lantern of hope.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are rebounding this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're up 103 points. Dow futures up 825, and Nasdaq futures up 328. The DAX in Germany is up 5.25%. CAC in Paris up 4.1%, and the FTSE 100 up 3.9%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 7.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 0.79%. The yield on the two-year, 0.30%. NYMEX crude oil up 5% or $1.18 to $24.53 a barrel. COMEX gold up 3.2% or $49.60 at $16.22.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.0826 against the dollar, and the yen, 110.74. Nathan.
Well, Karen, we begin this morning on Capitol Hill, where partisan negotiations continue to stall the coronavirus stimulus bill.
Absolutely mindless obstruction going on the other side. While the public is waiting for us to act, while people are losing their jobs.
Senate Democrats blocked Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's second attempt to advance the measure. That had Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin working into the night on a revised plan. We get the very latest from Bloomberg Chief Washington correspondent Kevin Cirilli.
I'm told from sources on both sides of the aisle that optimism still remains to get a deal before noon New York time. Constituents for all of these senators are pressuring them aggressively. The sticking point, it's $500 billion. The Democrats are saying they want to have more transparency as it relates to that $500 billion and the cash and the resources that would go to large businesses. Republicans are saying that they want to be able to negotiate directly with rank-and-file Democrats. That's a non-starter for people like Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. That is the back and forth that has been going on in the halls of Congress.
The Democrats want temporary reprieves for mortgage and car payments as well as credit card bills, plus a ban on foreclosures and evictions. Schumer says he expects to have an agreement this morning.
Meantime, President Trump is working on plans to get America back to work.
America will again and soon be open for business, very soon, a lot sooner than 3 or 4 months that somebody was suggesting.
The president said America was not built to be shut down, and he doesn't want the economy slowed for too long. Sources tell us he's been discussing how to get the country back to work since last week.
We're not going to let the cure be worse than the problem. At the end of the 15-day period, we'll make a decision as to which way we want to go, where we want to go.
The president says parts of the nation might be able to resume activity even as others continue fighting the outbreak.
And that outbreak is gaining steam across the country as the number of cases approaches 50,000. For the very latest, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. Deaths from the virus are nearing 600 in the U.S. New York State remains the hotspot with 185 fatalities. Washington State is the latest to issue a stay-at-home order, a move that's gaining traction across the country. And now St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard is weighing in. He suggests a three-month break for all non-essential businesses across the country. Bullard recommends the government declare a national pandemic adjustment period. He also wants unemployment insurance to replace lost pay at close to 100%. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Meantime, in Europe, we have some encouraging signs out of Italy, which is reporting its second daily decline in deaths. Here with more is Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo.
The number of deaths did fall for the second straight day. They're still very high. We're looking at 600. These are still big numbers. But also the number of cases that were reported, you did see the smallest increase on a day-to-day basis for the second straight day. So that could indicate, and this is the best case scenario, that we're moving very close to the peak. Once you peak, you would expect those numbers to come down. Obviously, this is good news for Italy because this is the center of the pandemic in Europe, but it would also be good guidance for the rest of Europe, which is really running behind by 2 weeks from Italy as to where they could expect their own peak.
Italy currently has 64,000 confirmed infections. Spain is the number two hotspot in Europe with 35,000 cases.
And we're getting some of the first economic data out of Europe since the start of the outbreak. PMIs in the region dropped sharply this month, with composite readings from Germany and France coming in at 37 and 30, respectively. That's far below estimates and signals large contractions for two of Europe's biggest economies. Overall, the composite reading for the entire euro area came in at 31.4. Anything below 50 signals contraction.
Despite that data, global equities are rebounding sharply this morning. In Asia, stocks posted their best one-day gain in nearly 11 years. Joining us with details is Bloomberg's Juliet Sally from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. China's CSI 300 gained more than 2.5%, while Hong Kong stocks recovered from their worst sell-off in over 2 years. Japan's Nikkei 225 was up 7% in Tokyo. South Korea's government announced a $39 billion rescue package for bonds and stocks, sending the KOSPI up 8.6%, its best gain since October 2008. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Meantime, in China, Hubei province, the epicenter of the outbreak, is lifting its lockdown. The city of Wuhan will end its mass quarantine starting April 8th. That's about 3.5 months after the first cases were discovered. The move comes as new infections in the region effectively drop to zero.
Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 102 points, Dow futures up 812, NASDAQ futures up 321, and the 10-year Treasury little change, yield 0.78%, yield on the 2-year 0.30%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr for more developments on the coronavirus pandemic and more of what's happening around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. A fifth of the world's population has been asked or ordered to stay home as coronavirus infections soar. Yesterday, Britain became the latest European country to effectively lock down. The White House's coronavirus response coordinator offered a grim assessment of the virus's assault on the New York metropolitan area. She said that nearly one in 1,000 people in the region have contracted the virus, an attack rate five times that of other areas. However, Dr. Deborah Birx also would not say whether she agrees with President Trump's push to reopen the country in weeks, not months.
What the president has asked us to do is to assemble all the data and give him our best medical recommendation based on all the data.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says hospitals are 10 days away from running out of basic supplies. There are more than 13,000 cases in New York City alone. New Jersey is now second in the U.S. for cases of COVID-19. Speaking to ABC's Nightline, Governor Phil Murphy said the state is facing a hard economic impact to slow the virus spread.
Let's take the pain now, and the pain is enormous, by the way. Workers who are out of work. But I have to tell you, our numbers in terms of the virus are going up and not down, at least in the near term, and we've got to be vigilant about that.
In the fight against the spread of the virus, Washington State's Governor Jay Inslee issued a new order last night that requires residents to stay home for the next 2 weeks.
This order builds on other unprecedented steps we have had to take to protect Washingtonians already, including the closure of schools, restaurants, entertainment venues, and other businesses where people congregate. We've been thoughtful and deliberate in making these very tough choices.
President Trump has signed an executive order to prevent hoarding and price increases of supplies amid the coronavirus outbreak. Attorney General William Barr spoke at a White House briefing.
If you have a big supply of toilet paper in your house, this is not something you have to worry about. But if you are sitting on a warehouse with masks, surgical masks, you will be hearing a knock on your door.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The coronavirus has canceled or postponed virtually every major sporting event in the world. Yet the Olympics in Tokyo are still holding out hope. A lantern, not a torch, is making its way to Tokyo in a car, not being carried by a human, with little or next to no fanfare. The game's officially yet to be canceled amid worldwide pressure. An official announcement expected within the next 4 weeks. The 1916, 40, and 44 games were all canceled because of World Wars I and II. Brooklyn Nets star Kyrie Irving will help feed the hungry in New York City amid the coronavirus pandemic. Irving wrote on Instagram he's teamed up with Feeding America, a nonprofit organization that works with food pantries and shelters, to launch a campaign that will ensure people in need are able to get food. He's donating $323,000 to Feeding America, asked fans and his family to contribute as well. The number 323 stems from his birthday, yesterday, March 23rd. The Jets and the Johnson family have made a $1 million joint donation to multiple United Way agencies in an effort to combat COVID-19. The support will assist vulnerable populations such as families and individuals facing loss of income due to business and school closures and children lacking access to school meals. Dropping in on the Yankees spring training, hitting coach Marcus Thames, he's being resourceful on how to deal with the virus.
Try to stay away from people as much as you can. It's hard because just in the industry that we're in. Hopefully everybody can get through this together. I mean, I have to wear gloves. Like, it's weird. I have batting gloves and just trying to stay safe, trying to listen to the health people and make sure we're doing the right thing.
To date, just two Yankee minor leaguers have tested positive. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. Global equities are rising this morning. S&P futures higher by 103 points. We'll talk about this risk on session next with James Bevan, Chief Investment Officer at CCLA Investment Management. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2020 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European shares are rallying alongside Asian shares after global equities hit their lowest level since 2016. While the dollar snaps a 10-day winning streak and Treasuries steady. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 105 points, Dow futures up 859, NASDAQ futures up 334. The DAX in Germany is up 5.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.79%, yield on the 2-year 0.31%. NYMEX crude oil is up 5.4% of $1.27 at $24.63 a barrel. COMEX gold up 3.1% or $49.30 at $16.22 an ounce. The euro, 1.0820 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1667. The yen is at 110.86. And the VIX at 57.03. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Karen, top professional and White House officials negotiating the nearly $2 trillion coronavirus rescue package say they expect to reach a deal sometime today. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer say they spoke by phone with President Donald Trump as they met late into the night at the Capitol. President Trump has signed an executive order to prevent hoarding and price increases of supplies amid the coronavirus outbreak. The Tokyo Olympics are headed toward the first postponement since the modern games began in the 19th century as national teams arranged to pull out and Japan's leader acknowledged a delay may be unavoidable due to the coronavirus. International Olympic Committee member Dick Pound told USA Today that the decision to push back the July-August event has already been made. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we continue to watch global equities rise this morning, let's bring in Danny Berger, markets reporter for Bloomberg News. Thanks for joining us this morning, Danny. And given the reaction we're seeing on our Bloomberg terminal screens this morning, is it safe to say that these unprecedented, what used to be considered fiscal moves by the Federal Reserve, are what the markets were finally looking for?
You know, in these day-to-day movements, it's sometimes hard to say exactly what's moving these stocks, especially, which is true always, but especially now. But it does seem to be the sentiment on, from Wall Street players I've been talking to, saying that, look, we're getting a breather today after the Fed went all in. But, of course, there's a lot that markets need to digest here. There's a lot of different programs the Fed announced. It wasn't so much a bazooka from the Fed, but more so a nuke. And so that sort of idea that, yes, they're all in now, they're pulling out all of the stops, and really in terms as far as their ammo, it just goes as far as their creativity. So it's certainly giving markets a boost. It looks like the S&P 500 futures up nearly 5%, close to hitting that circuit breaker again, which I should say would be the 10th time in 11 days, just to give you an idea of how volatile markets have been. But one Wall Street analyst put it thus, we might not see these gains last because what the Fed is doing here is certainly treating some of the symptoms of this market panic, but still the issue remains of the virus spreading, more countries going on lockdown like the UK announcing last night, and we get this freeze in economic activity. And until that is fixed, until there's a vaccine, the Fed can provide some liquidity measures, some oiling to make sure the financial machine is operating well, but still the sell-off might not abate until that economic activity gets some sort of relief.
And I guess we got a sense of where that economic activity is starting to freeze up here with the latest PMIs coming out of the Eurozone this morning, sharply lower. Is that giving market participants that you're talking to pause?
It certainly is, but you have to remember that this was definitely expected. So in terms of, you know, why do we have these awful PMI numbers and still European stocks are up 4%, it was no surprise, really, to a lot of the people I was talking about that this is what it would look like. We saw the activity just absolutely collapse in March. Business sentiment, it's the gloomiest on record, so this was by no means a surprise. One thing I would say, though, in terms of looking at forecasts from different people, BMO analyst Brian Belsky, I think, put in a really interesting perspective saying that, you know, you get these ugly PMI numbers, markets collapse, you have all of these strategists rushing to quickly downgrade, but he says that they're really reactionary. You know, these market strategists and pundits want to be correct, and they feel like they look silly if they're not having these massive downgrades. So in a way, maybe it's sort of hinting at Morgan Stanley saying that GDP could collapse 30% in the second quarter, which would by far be the worst on record. So that is one grain of salt. Yes, markets are falling. Yes, the PMI numbers look grim, but we don't yet know how this is going to play out. So when we look at these forecasts and what the market reaction should be, approach them with maybe just a touch of hesitation, according to BMO.
Yeah, and you got to wonder whether markets are concerned about the fact that Congress just can't seem to get something done in terms of the multi-trillion dollar stimulus package that they've been wrangling over for days now.
Yeah, and it especially stands in stark contrast when you have governments around the world giving markets some fiscal stimulus. I mean, even Germany, after years of austerity, has been on the forefront here, and the U.S. continues to have these political squabbles. It's really just another brick in the wall of worry. So you'd have to imagine that that also is something holding markets back at this point. There needs to be more on the fiscal end of the equation. That could really be the ultimate game changer of maybe not how sharply we fall, but how easily markets and just business and the economy in general are able to recover on the other side of the V.
And in our last couple of seconds here, Danny, what's the next thing you're going to be looking for in terms of whether market sentiment is turning around here?
it's definitely going to be those measures of liquidity. We need to see liquidity start to ease, be it commercial paper, be it dollar funding, before market participants really have a sense of confidence that they can jump in and maybe find bargains in this market.
Much appreciated, Danny. Good talking with you this morning. That's Danny Berger. She covers markets for Bloomberg News. And as we look at the markets this morning, it does appear to be risk on around the world, with S&P futures higher by 105 points, Dow futures up 864 now, and NASDAQ futures a gain of 333 points. DAX in Germany up 5.3%, the CAC in Paris higher by 4.4%, the 10-year down 5/32nds, yield 0.80%, and the 2-year Treasury yield is 0.30%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are rebounding from the lowest level since 2016 as lawmakers on Capitol Hill get closer to a deal on a stimulus bill. Partisan negotiations continue to stall the measure. We get more from Bloomberg's markets reporter Richard Jones.
Even with the bounce in equities today, if we don't get an agreement in the U.S., it threatens to undermine risk sentiment further, and I think it could send equity markets back to the lows. U.S. politicians failed to get something done yesterday. Let's see what they can manage today.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin worked into the night on a revised plan. Schumer said he expects to have an agreement this morning.
In the meantime, President Trump's working on ways to get America back to work.
America will again and soon be open for business. Very soon, a lot sooner than 3 or 4 months that somebody was suggesting.
The president says America was not built to be shut down, and he doesn't want the economy slowed for too long. Sources tell us he's been discussing how to get the country back to work since last week.
We're not going to let the cure be worse than the problem. At the end of the 15-day period, we'll make a decision as to which way we want to go, where we want to go.
The president says parts of the nation might be able to resume activity even as others continue fighting the outbreak.
Still, virus is gaining steam across the country. For the very latest, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. The number of U.S. cases is nearing 50,000 as deaths approach 600. And New York State remains the hotspot with more than 20,000 infections and 185 fatalities. Washington State, the latest to issue a stay-at-home order, a move that is gaining traction across the country. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. Meantime, in Europe, we're getting some of the first economic data since the start of the outbreak. A March PMI reading for the euro area plunged to the lowest level since the index was started. The composite reading fell to 31.4, with services faring far worse than manufacturing. Anything below 50 signals contraction.
S&P futures up 105 points this morning, Dow futures up 868, and NASDAQ futures up 335. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.79%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.30%. NYMEX crude oil up 6.25%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It is 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with the latest world and national news headlines. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The White House's coronavirus response coordinator offered a grim assessment of the virus's assault on the New York metropolitan area. She said that nearly 1 in 1,000 people in the region have contracted the virus, an attack rate 5 times that of other areas. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the New York cases alone have been half of the nation's overall cases each day.
This wave of increasing cases that New York City was seeing double the number of cases every 2.5 days. That can take your breath away.
There are more than 13,000 cases of COVID-19 in New York City alone. Meanwhile, Cuomo also says construction will begin this week to turn the Javits Convention Center in Manhattan into a 1,000-bed hospital. Cuomo says there will be 320 Federal Emergency Management Agency workers assigned to the hospitals. A day after New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy blasted state residents for violating his coronavirus outbreak stay-at-home order, the state's top law enforcement officer declared the time for warning is over. New Jersey Attorney General Grubier Graywall says if you decide to host a party in your home, expect an official visit by your local police.
If you and your friends decide to throw a party at your home and you invite 20 of your closest friends, stop. Law enforcement officers will have to break that party up and there will be criminal consequences. It's simple. Shut down your non-essential businesses. Stay at home and let's keep everyone safe.
California Governor Gavin Newsom is asking all residents to practice social distancing and common sense in the wake of the statewide stay-at-home order due to the COVID-19 epidemic. Newsom says it should be a new normal for Californians for the next few months.
We are looking at the next 8 weeks on our curve, maybe the next 8 to 12 weeks, to address this surge and, again, do it in a thoughtful and pragmatic way.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says his state is seeing a fast growth rate of coronavirus cases.
I'm a person of faith. I absolutely believe in the power of prayer, but I also believe in science. And in this case, I choose to do what science tells me while I pray for the best possible outcome. We are working and preparing for the worst and trying to avoid the worst.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Ron Pushka.
Good morning, Nathan. It just doesn't feel the same, but the Olympics are using a makeshift flame, a lantern, to hold on to a glimmer of hope for the games to go on as scheduled in Tokyo this July. The lantern has been driven by car along empty roads with few spectators and being transported to Tokyo as opposed to the torchbearers hand-delivering the flame to signify the upcoming games. An official announcement's expected within 4 weeks. The International Olympic Committee has a $2 billion reserve and insurance policy in place for the loss of revenue if the games are canceled. It's times like these that often bring out the best in people, including Brooklyn Nets star guard Kyrie Irving. He posted on Instagram Monday announcing he was teaming up with Feeding America, a nonprofit to help those in New York City receive food, as many as 250,000 meals. He's donating $323,000, which signified his birthday yesterday, 323. Irving urged his teammates, family, and friends to help out in the cause. The Jets and Johnson family are doing just that. They jointly pledged $1 million to multiple local United Way agencies to help combat job loss and those children lacking school lunches as a result of COVID-19. Yankees update from Tampa. Aaron Judge says he feels great and will be ready when play does resume.
Yeah, weight room stuff, working out, you know, stuff in the training room, you know, back and forth all day. I was trying to speed this thing up. You know, just based off of, you know, having to wait a couple weeks for the CT scan and then possibly, you know, another week or two, you know, when to completely heal. You know, middle, end of April, May. I'm not too sure. I really don't want to put myself in a box and say, hey, middle April. We'll see.
Judge is recovering from a punctured lung discovered during a rib injury. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Okay, Rob, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the race for a COVID-19 cure. Also in this week's issue, how the extent of the outbreak took Wall Street by surprise. Max Abelson wrote that story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Wall Street seems to have this ability to look around corners and to make money from the ability to predict what's next. And what our reporting showed is that just did not happen here.
Read more in Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. And terminal customers can get a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. Listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device at YouTube.com. Search Bloomberg Global News. At 5:38 on Wall Street, we check the Tri-State Business Report now with Bloomberg. Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Street Easy, the real estate website, will stop counting how long properties are lingering in the market while New York City is shut down. The site, under pressure from brokers, says it will stop reporting the metric for both sales and rental listings effective immediately. New York City is staring down a fiscal emergency, according to Comptroller Scott Stringer. He says it may lose as much as $6 billion in tax revenue over the next 15 months as the COVID-19 epidemic shuts down a broad swath of the city's economy. New Jersey unemployment has gone up dramatically as a result of the coronavirus pandemic, according to Governor Phil Murphy. The state will report labor statistics today. He says states need a huge amount of cash assistance, and they're also looking for equipment and other help from the federal government. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Neiman Marcus is said to be talking to lenders about filing for bankruptcy.
I'm Steve Potoskin on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about New York City hotels targeting a July reopening.
I'm Roger Hearing. On Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London, we report on day one of a shutdown as the country's told to stay at home to save lives, and the Chancellor is expected to announce more economic measures today.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing is closing its Seattle-area manufacturing hub for 2 weeks after a worker died of coronavirus complications.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting automakers are seeking loans as the coronavirus shuts down plants.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Risk on morning as we check our screens. S&P futures higher by 113 points. Dow futures up 930. NASDAQ futures higher by 372 points. Gains of more than 5% across the board. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. The only adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are on the rise. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, with S&P futures up 113 points or 5.1%, Dow futures up 930, and NASDAQ futures up 374. The DAX in Germany is up 6.1%, CAC in Paris up 5%, FTSE 100 up 4%. 10-year Treasury is down 3/32, yield 0.79%, the yield on the 2-year 0.31%. NYMEX crude oil is up 6.4%, up $1.50 at $24.88 a barrel. COMEX gold up 4.2%, up $66 at $16.38.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.0847 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1703. The yen is at 110.75. The VIX at 55.54. Again, S&P futures up more than 5%. Hey, they have reached their limit up. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here is Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump said the American economy cannot remain slowed for too long to fight the coronavirus, declaring that the country was not built to be shut down. Trump says America will again and soon be open for business, very soon. Chinese authorities are lifting a lockdown in most of its virus-hit Hubei province. People who are cleared will be able to leave the province after midnight tonight. The city of Wuhan, where the outbreak started, remained locked down until April 8th. The Tokyo Olympics are headed toward the first postponement since the modern games began in the 19th century, as national teams arranged to pull out and Japan's leader acknowledged a delay may be unavoidable due to the coronavirus. International Olympic Committee member Dick Pound told USA Today that the decision to push back the July-August event has already been made. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Along with the equity rally, we are seeing gains in the oil market this morning after the Federal Reserve's promise of potentially unlimited support for the U.S. economy. Let's get more on that now. Stephen Schork joins us, president of the Schork Group. Always good talking with you, Stephen. Thanks for being with us as we do see this second straight session of gains for crude. Is this the start of a long-standing rally, do you think?
No, I don't, Nathan. Okay. We're still in the process of shutting down every major industrial economy in the world. So, of course, this is going to have lasting impressions. And quite frankly, we're all into uncharted waters, and that's why we made the decision here at the Schork Group last week to make all of our research available for free to market participants. We all need to get through this. So to that point, Nathan, yesterday, NYMEX gasoline spot delivery traded down to 37.6 cents. That is to within 37.6 cents of zero for gasoline. So when we look at gasoline's low print from Monday relative to its high print on Friday, gasoline traded down, lost, peak to trough, almost $16,000 a contract. So we're in this lower for longer. It's not only the impact that we had been seeing in weakness, that is to say, prior to the start of the virus shut-ins, the industrial economies around the globe, China, Asia, Europe, North America, were already in recession. So therefore, we were already seeing a pullback in demand. Now when we add on to the impact that I don't care how cheap gasoline is, no one is using it over the next 2 weeks. So this is all about futures, and we are pricing in these disruptions. But when we look at the movement in the curve, the forward pricing curve and the crash in the immediate curve, the market is telling us it's not expecting a supreme rebound in price at this point.
Are you one of those who's thinking that we could be headed toward negative crude prices, that it might be cheaper to hold on to stockpiles than to have them out in the market?
Well, certainly what we're seeing here over the past 4 weeks or month is an extreme inversion in the curve. So, you know, typically when you think of it, prices, when you're looking at a long list of monthly prices, prices today are typically higher than prices next month, the following month, and so forth. That structures a backwardation, and in an industrial commodity such as oil, the markets are typically in backwardation, especially as you look towards the summer, the peak demand season. Over the past month, we've gone from a strong backwardation to a strong contango. So that is, as we go up, prices are sloping from the bottom left of the x-axis to the upper right. Prices, the market is paying you to store oil. And certainly when we look at, the United States producing over 13 million barrels a day, the Russian-Saudi price war, and we have those two countries vowing to increase their production, mind-bogglingly so, given the demand that is being destroyed and that is never coming back. So we've got three of the largest producers in the world that are still flooding the market with oil, and we know demand has already taken a hit, and it's going to take an unbelievable hit in as we look forward to the summer. So certainly we're looking at very, very low prices. Negative prices, we've seen it in the natural gas market. Certainly what I'm telling clients is that the all-time record low, $9.75 a barrel, we saw it in April 1986. That's not impossible to think that we could get down to that low.
We've only got a few seconds left here, Steve. And Energy Secretary Dan Brouillette is floating the possibility of a Saudi alliance to curb production. Is that something you see happening?
Certainly. Keep in mind that the ongoing price war between Saudi Arabia and Russia, we here at Schork maintain that this is a proxy war between Russia and the United States. Let's not forget that at the end of February, the United States sanctioned Russia's largest oil company, its largest oil trading company, thereby hampering that country's ability to gain market share in the export market. To its detriment, that's the benefit to the United States. So absolutely, it's a possibility seeing the Saudis and the U.S. Working together on this issue.
Thanks, as always, for your insights. Stephen Shork of the Shork Group. And checking prices now, NYMEX crude is higher by 6.7%, $24.92 a barrel. Brent is at $28.46. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Commercial laboratories are coming online to perform coronavirus testing, but the U.S. is not likely to reach full testing capacity for at least another month. That's according to the president of the American Society for Clinical Laboratory Science. Federal regulators granted Medicare and Medicaid waivers requested by 11 states to give the states more flexibility in dealing with the pandemic. The top financial regulator in California is urging banks in the state to suspend fees and foreclosures until the state has a handle on the coronavirus outbreak.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal development. We're watching the Supreme Court breaking with tradition to issue a series of decisions online rather than from the bench. The last time the court ruled without taking the bench was the 2000 Bush v. Gore decision. For more on the opinions affected by the move, June Grasso speaks with Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr.
Let's start with the opinion where the court ends up shielding the states from copyright lawsuits.
Yeah, this was a case that involved a video company that was videotaping the salvaging of Blackbeard's flagship that sunk off the coast of North Carolina. And the owner of this company said that the state of North Carolina was infringing his copyrights by posting some of the videos online, and he was trying to sue them, the state, for damages. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. The state is protected by sovereign immunity, and nothing that Congress has done, including a law that Congress passed, is enough to abrogate that sovereign immunity, enough to get around it. You can still sue this thing, get a court order, an injunction, but you can't actually get damages from them under the Constitution.
So Justice Elena Kagan wrote the opinion, and she stressed following precedent. Explain why that might have been.
The court has had a series of cases like this in the past, and they have generally been ideologically divided, the conservatives saying states have sovereign immunities. In this case, though, it was a unanimous decision, and Kagan, one of the liberals, wrote it. And what she said was, hey, in 1990, we decided basically this question in the context of patent law. We said that people can't sue states for patent infringement. And she said that ruling is entitled to respect under the doctrine of stare decisis. You need a special justification to overrule a precedent. And she's probably the court's foremost advocate of stare decisis right now. And you have to imagine what she had in mind was things like abortion. She doesn't want the court moving quickly to overturn its abortion rights precedents. There's an awful lot that the Roberts Court could be doing if they're willing to overturn precedents, and she's trying to hold the line there.
And that's Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Again, S&P futures limit up 113 points or 5.1% right now. The stocks Europe 600 is up 5.1% this morning. 10-year Treasury down 536. Seconds, yield 0.80%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.